wounded side. As the tears filled up the wrinkles on his face, as I held his withered hand, he smiled and whispered, "Son, I'm going to live in a better place, and I'll have eyes that will never fill with teardrops. I'll have legs that will never ache with pain, and I'll have hands that will never age or wither, and a heart that will never break again." I have often heard and read about that city where with Jesus we shall live forevermore. There are mansions in construction for my dwelling, and the streets of gold will run by my front door. To hear the Savior call their name, and I'll have eyes that will never fill with teardrops, and I'll have legs that will never ache with pain, and I'll have hands that will never age or wither, and a heart that will never break again, and I'll have eyes that will never fill with teardrops, I'll have legs that will never ache with pain, and I'll have hands that will never and a heart that will never break again, and I'll have hands that will never age or wither, and a heart that will never break again. Chris,
are you in voice this morning? How about the Haven of Rest? All right. Dave Root, can you sing with us? And Ralph? Sam, can you put your headphones, or do you want to tape this? Or recorded this. You want to sing? Come on up. 388 it is in your hymn book. 388. You know, one of these days we're not going to be able to sing like we once did. So we might as well sing now. Come on over here, you guys, and we'll sing. 388 in the hymn book. 388. If you want to follow along or if you want to hum along, that's fine. The haven of rest is where we're going. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Now, this chapter is the Lord speaking. The whole chapter you can see is all in red if you have a red letter edition Bible. And it starts out with, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying," and about what the Lord is going to say in this chapter really sets Jesus off as a good old fashioned fundamental preacher. This is a message that Jesus speaks and preaches that the world does not seem to pay attention to. Oh, they like all the other things about the Lord and the things he said, you know, render unto Caesar, things are Caesar. They'll quote that sometimes. Be kind and be good. The Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, they really, I mean, the mainstream of Christianity loves those passages of Scripture. But I would say most of the mainstream of Christianity has no time for this chapter. Wait till you see what the Lord's going to say. Now, if you remember the last chapter, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, and the scribes all had hard questions for Jesus. They were trying to trip him up and tempt him to say something that would put him against the people or the people against him. And every time he answered them, he basically shut their mouths and put their attempt to tempt him and trip him up in his speech to rest. And he answered them with authority. Well, now in chapter 23, he is going to warn you and me and his disciples back in that day of the Pharisees and the scribes and their way and their teachings and so forth. So this is kind of a scathing rebuke from the Lord of the religious leaders of the children of Israel in his day. This is not going to be a soft and, smooth message here this morning. It's going to be one that's rather scathing. And it's coming not from a fundamentalist preacher like Pastor Freeman. It's coming from Jesus Christ himself. I'd like to say that if there's any time that you see the Lord saying that it's good to be fundamental in the faith, militant for the doctrine, for the truth, and so forth, it's right here in Matthew 23 where he gives us a good example of it. Let's get started in it here right now. The Lord's observations and exhortations concerning Pharisaism. In verses 1 through 4, he says, in verse 2, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. That's kind of like handed down from the Old Testament to them. They have a responsibility. All therefore whatsoever they bid, you observe. That observe and do. But do not ye after their works. For they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Remember a few times when the Lord would heal on the Sabbath day, they got angry. When he encouraged one man to take up his bed and walk on the Sabbath day, they thought, that's no good. He's bearing a burden on the Sabbath day. No, wait a minute. It's good to do good on the Sabbath day. It's good to do good. Man wasn't made to keep Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to give man rest. Give it to them, they would say, you've been born to keep Sabbath. That's why you were born. No. The Sabbath was given to give us rest. And it's good to do good on the Sabbath day. These men turn it all around. They teach but do not. Often, Christians teach others things and then turn around and don't do them themselves. Such as they might say, you know, you ought to pray. And then they don't pray themselves. You know, you ought to go to church, and they don't attend church like they should. You ought to give to the things of the Lord, and they don't give. You ought to serve the Lord, and they don't serve. You ought to be honest, and they're not honest. Oh, don't talk about people behind their back, but boy, you'll hear them gossip and slander. They say, oh, you ought to have some standards, and then they don't have standards. We should believe and teach what God's word says and do it. Notice the Lord is respecting the Pharisees' authority as they sit in Moses' seat, but not their practice. I had a preacher say to me once, as I was being a student pastor and just kind of learning things in college, he said to me, you don't always preach what you do. Sometimes you have to preach even on things that you don't do. And I thought, that's not right. That's not right. And I said to myself, this is not good counsel I'm getting at this point. The person was good usually, but he was wrong that day in saying that to me. I walked away and said this, if I can't do what I preach, I better not be preaching. You gotta live what you say. And that's what the Lord's saying here. These Pharisees say one thing, and when they say things about the law that we should have kept and so forth. Now keep in mind, Jesus was living before the cross, so the law was very much in place and still to be kept all the way up until he died on the cross, because then he put away the law, did away with it. And we have a new law in our members, those of us who know Christ as Savior. It's the Spirit of God who guides us and leads us. We're not under Moses' law to do that today. We're led by the Spirit. But at this time, it was important. And the Lord said, when they tell you the things of the law, do them. Do it. But don't do as they say, or according to their works, because they say and do not. They tell you what to do, but they don't do it themselves. They refuse to be a good example. In verse 4 there, it says, for they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Wow, what a crowd they were. That's the Lord speaking, by the way. That is the Lord Jesus Christ saying this about them. Verse 5 through 7, here we see when they do works, it is only to be seen of men. Look here, verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Now phylacteries is their garments that they would wear, and they would put certain colors and certain things on them. Or some of them would write scripture out on paper and roll it up and put it in little boxes and tie it around their head or on their arms or whatever. To kind of like show that they're respecting God's word. But here the Lord says they're doing it to be seen of men. Verse 6, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Wow. They seek respect of men by what and how they dress. They seek respect of men at public gatherings. They seek respect of men by receiving greetings in the public. I've seen this. I've seen this even in our day. Roman Catholicism and priests with their collars backwards. And I even see some Protestant ministers doing this. You know what? I'm not going to wear a collar turned around backwards and parade around like as if I'm a spiritual leader of some kind that you ought to, you know, stop and bow or genuflect in front of or say Holy Father or something like that. Uh-uh. That's not right. These men did it. And they do it today. They walk around with their garments on indicating their position and so forth to be seen of men. I don't know about you, but good old-fashioned Bible-believing preachers don't dress up to just be seen of men. The best you're going to get out of me is a tie and a coat. And quite frankly, I don't like ties. I can't wait to heaven to find out the guy who invented ties. I'm going to let him know what I think about it. I don't understand. What is this piece of cloth doing? What does it do? It's just, but okay, I'll do it. You know, just to at least give you some semblance of order. So whatever it is you think is necessary to wear a tie for. But they do it to be seen of men. And the Lord rebukes them for this. And much of Christendom has followed these same trends that the Lord is rebuking them for. Verse 8 through 10, titles. Verse 8, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Wow. The titles desired of the Pharisees here in Jesus' day. They liked the title Rabbi. Even Nicodemus gave that title to the Lord when he came to him by night. It means a spiritual advisor or a director. Then the term father means spiritual father, used among, you know, the religious and so forth, spiritual father. Master means teacher, teaching things. All these answer to Roman Catholicism of our day today. By the way, if you get a little upset hearing a preacher naming names or naming denominations or whatever, that's the reason why Ray Street Baptist Church is here. Because we're not Catholic, nor are we Protestant. We have said of those two ways, they are in error, and many of them are in apostasy, and there's a need for a church where they preach the Word of God and hold to the doctrine of the Word of God, and not to formalism and traditions and ritualism and idols and icons and things like that. Now, the simple serving of the Lord. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in what? Truth. And the truth is the Word of God, the Bible. We need to get back to the Bible. That's what we need to get back to. Not, Rabbi, Father, Holy Father. The Pope came over here and it was blasphemous. Party. I'm telling you, blasphemous. You call no man your father on earth. There's one in heaven who is your father. They called that man Holy Father. Well, the Holy Father is coming down the street in his Batmobile. And he's shaking his head and kissing babies and things like that. Like as if he has some kind of... That's wrong. Don't you be calling me Father. Don't call Isaiah Father Freeman. No. No, one is your Father in heaven. Now, there may be a sense in which you see me as a spiritual father if I've helped you come to know the Lord as your personal Savior. Even Paul called Timothy as my son in the faith. I understand that. But titles given out and expecting people to respect that title and say that title to you, I think is something the Lord is saying the Pharisees love that. They love that. You know what, by the way? There's no such thing as a priest for you. We are all priests who know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And we're all to bring spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord. You don't need another priest to run interference for you with God. The only priest you need between you and God is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Now, these men say they take the place of Christ. Well, oh, no, they don't. That's a sad thing to say that you're taking the place of Christ. No. We have one priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's how we have our relationship with God. We have a spiritual father. No man can impart spiritual life to you. Only the Father in heaven can do that. And a master or a teacher. You know who we have as a teacher right now? When Jesus was here on earth, he taught his disciples. He told them before he left, it's needful for me to go away so that the Comforter can come. And he will teach you all things about me. And today the teacher is the Holy Spirit of God. He's the teacher. And then we're to follow the things as he teaches us in the Word of God. Verses 11 and 12, the Lord here exhorts for humbleness, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The Lord gave the greatest example of this when at the Last Supper, he took a towel and a basin of water, and he went around and washed all the disciples' feet. Remember how Peter said, don't do that to me, and he had to learn a lesson. If you want to have fellowship with me, you need to do that. And then he said, then give me a total bath. And the Lord said, you don't need a total bath. Ye that are clean just need to wash your feet. And we who are saved know the Lord is our Savior. We walk through this world day in and day out. What do we need to do? Get saved again? No. But do we need to restore our fellowship with the Lord by washing our feet? That's what was being taught there. But the main lesson in that whole foot washing thing was this. If I serve you like I did, then you ought to all serve each other just like I gave you an example. And so the Lord's exhortation here for humbleness in verses 11 and 12, and in verse 13 through verse 36, we're going to see the Lord's message of woe to the Pharisees. And it seems he's getting stronger and stronger in his words against the Pharisees. It's getting more scathing as he goes along here. You know, some people just can't put up with scathing remarks or calling out names or denominational things or men in the ministry who aren't really doing the work of the Lord like they do. They kind of get a little queasy. Oh, the pastor's starting to name names and he's pointing out ministries that really aren't serving the Lord the way they should. Hey, here's the Lord doing it. And we have the example from the Lord to do this. And so let's take a look at it right here in verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. In that verse, we see the woe of unbelief of these religious leaders over Israel. And I'm going to say today, many preachers today are not even saved. They're not even saved. You know, if you're going to a Protestant church or a Catholic church, you know what I would challenge you to do? Go up to your so-called priest, go up to your preacher and ask him, are you saved? Just ask him that. Are you saved? And many of them, well, you know, we're not to judge. You know, the kind of all kind of answers like that. Instead of, yes, I'm saved. How about you? Are you? You know, you would expect your pastor to be concerned about your salvation. Are you saved and going to heaven or are you not? Imagine going to a church for 30 or 40 years of your life and the pastor never invites you to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from sin, death, and hell. Imagine that. He'd let you go to hell. Oh, but you've been in church, you've given to the church, you've been trying to be nice and things like that, but you're still lost after 30, 40 years of sitting in a church. You know what? Get out of there. Get out of there and find a place where you're going to hear the gospel. You say, yeah, but they're always rough and tough when they preach the gospel. I don't like that kind of... Hey, you know what? Your best friend is someone who's going to tell you you're a sinner on your way to hell and you need to be saved through what Christ did for you on the cross. I mean, you need to be saved. That's a decision you need to make. Well, I've been in my church all my life and I'm pretty good. Well, that's not salvation. That's just being in church and pretty good. That's all that is. You need to be saved. Saved from what? Your sin. Jesus paid for it all on Calvary. And he says, whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, I believe. I got baptized. I go to church. Isn't that the same as believing? No. That's just going to church and getting baptized. That's not believing. You need to get saved through belief. And many preachers today are not even saved themselves, and they stand in pulpits preaching to congregations. You say, I don't think you should talk like, well, Jesus did. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. The woe of robbery. Let's just call it what it is. Robbing people in spiritual context. Much under the guise of religion today is nothing short of robbery. I don't know if you've had any opportunities to watch some of these TV evangelists or TV ministries, but they have no shame. No shame. Send me your money and I'll give you a blessing. I will put all the envelopes on the floor and I'll kneel on them and pray and you'll get, and you're going to get money in your mailbox back. Such silly promises and things. And their ministry keeps gathering in millions and millions of dollars. Because see, they're preying on one of the most emotional things that people go through. Sickness, trouble in the flesh, and so forth. They're playing on that. And you know what? My Bible says God has not promised to heal us all. But he has promised to give us a new body someday in heaven. Now, I'm not saying he never intervenes and heals. He does, and he sometimes answers our prayers, and we do pray for getting better and so forth. But you know what? That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that in all that we do, whether we're feeling good, have good health, or our health is failing, we do all for the honor and glory of the Lord. But these guys are out there. Hey, if you send in your seed faith to our ministry, and God will do great things with your money, and they promise them all these kind of things, then you'll get your healing. Claim your healing, they'll say. Oh, you just need to claim it. It's there. It's out there. Oh, you know what? How many thousands of people try to claim it and never get it? But they send money to these guys, and they keep on loading up the amount of money in their ministry. They have big, huge estates. They fly around in jets and things like that. And they have the best of clothes and rings on their finger and hairdo that sometimes comes out like this. And they turn around and their eyelids flap with all the fake stuff on. You know what? This is robbery of the people of God. And Jesus stood there that day. You devour widows' houses. Oh, put us in your will. And so, you know, they put the ministry in the will. And when they die, the family, they can't even bury mom because she gave all the money to the ministry. And they get angry at the ministries and things like that. And they bring reproach upon the things of God as a result of it. Woe to the robbery. How about this? If you pay money for a special service to be done in the church, that'll help your loved one get into heaven. It's called Mass, praying for Mass to be said for a dead loved one. And to get him out of purgatory. Costs money to get out of purgatory, you know that? Costs money. Costs money to get out of purgatory. Enough said on that. Verse 15. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Whoa! Whoa! Hey, man, that's coming out of the Lord's mouth. I would like to hear Joel. I'm going to say names. I'd like to hear Joel Osteen say that. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think you should name names. That's not nice. I'd like to hear Pastor Freeman say that. And I hope you know I do say that. I will say it. These men in pulpits who aren't saved, they make the people live godly or whatever and everything, but don't tell them how to be saved. They end up making them twofold more the child of hell than they were before they came into his church. Sometimes it'd be better off they hadn't even heard, so that they might hear the gospel clear the first time from a good old-fashioned Bible-preaching evangelist who says you're lost on your way to hell and need to be saved. That's what the Lord says here. You make them more the child of hell than yourselves. Oh, by the way, Jesus believes in hell and believes that people are going there. You know, when some of these big preachers get interviewed by, you know, some of these big interviewers, and they want to put the preacher on the spot. They'll say, do you believe that if someone doesn't believe the way you do about Jesus Christ, that they're going to hell? Oh boy, and they squirm and everything else to try to give an answer to that. One has to wonder, do they really believe what they preach? A lot of times they don't even preach what the interviewer is asking them about. In other words, you know what? Christianity, generally speaking, in quotes, Christianity in quotes, as apart from true Bible-believing Christianity, is in a big mess today. It's a big mess. And men who are actually leaders are afraid to even talk about people who don't believe in Jesus Christ are on their way to hell. And they need to be saved. The best friend you have in the world is someone who tells you you're lost on your way to hell and you need to be saved through what Christ did for you on the cross. That's the most loving thing somebody can do for you. And you get saved and become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things become new. That's the greatest thing that can ever happen. And these men stand there in Jesus' day, compassing sea and land to make one proselyte. You know, unbelief is busy gathering a following. Christendom, Catholicism, the cults are out there door knocking and handing out tracts to proselyte people under their way. You know what? Christians don't proselyte. We don't proselyte. So, well, I don't know. I think you do. You're out there trying to get people to follow you. No. Christians don't proselyte. You know what we do? We try to convert people. Convert them from a wrong way to a right way. I don't just want a follower of me or of yourselves or of our church. We want people to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and have a new life. Verse 16, woe unto you, ye blind guides. Oh, wow. Lord, couldn't you be a little softer than that? Which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And here's another example. Whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. The woe of what we see here is the woe of spiritual blindness. Unbelieving Christendom is more concerned about what men do or give than what God has provided for them. What's more important, the temple or the gold that makes up the temple? No, the temple. And that's the place where God will meet with man. In the Old Testament, that's what he said. I will meet with you there. But you know, Christendom is more worried about the gold. Have you brought any gold? The altar. What's more important? That which is on the altar or the altar itself? Without an altar, you can't have anything on it. Without a cross, you can't have a Savior hanging on it. And we preach the cross. But much in Christendom doesn't preach the cross. It preaches good works, good deeds. What have you done for us? What have you done for the church lately? And the cross becomes the least of importance. In verse 22, it says, he that sweareth by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. You know, there are places in the Bible that says that you shouldn't take an oath. You shouldn't swear and say, well, I'm going to do this. By God, I'm going to do it. Wait a minute. You're bringing God in on this, that you're going to do something? You can't even make one of your hair black or white. You don't even know the number of hairs on your head. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. You ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. Lord willing, we will do this or that. Oh, no, today it's, you claim your healing. I, in Jesus' name, declare you healed. Oh, yeah? You can't even do a single thing without God being behind it. And who are you telling God to heal? Just do it right now. I was watching one the other day. And the guy had a little pain in his back, and so he put his hand on, I declare, you know, he goes through his claiming thing and praying, and I declare it healed. Now, how does it feel? Well, I feel a little something going on. Now, wait a minute, what do you mean a little something? When Jesus healed, that was done just like that. I do believe in the healing that the Lord did. I believe that healing was given in the very early church in order to confirm the word. But now the word is here, and I believe that the sign gifts have ceased, as it says, tongues shall cease. When? When that which is perfect is come, the word of God. And now instead of, you know, trying to get people to believe something by healing, you just preach the word. And the Spirit of God will take the word of God and convict their heart and bring them to salvation if they're willing. If they're willing. That's what I believe is going on today. But oh boy, spiritual blindness today. Verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Listen to this. For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. They go out in their garden, their herb garden. And they harvest their mint. They put it in a pile. And they give one-tenth to the Lord. They figure it all out. Then they get their anise, give one-tenth to the Lord, and the rest is theirs. Then they're coming, they one-tenth to the Lord, and the rest is theirs. And the Lord accuses them of this, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. I mean, those words make sense, don't they? Do I have to stand up here and say, well, now this word means that, and that word means that? That makes sense. Such little things they make sure they do. And they leave the most important things undone. This is the woe of trifling. Unbelieving Christendom majors on minor things today, like ceremonies, like traditions, like ritualism and formalism. Oh, I felt like I was in heaven in church today, and the sun shined through what do they call the windows? Stained glass windows, and oh, it was so good. And the preacher was so nice. They're all dressed up, and they go out feeling fine. And they've left the weightier things of the law undone. Are you saved? What have you done with Jesus? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Oh, but it was a nice service. No. What think ye of Christ? That's more important. What about judgment, mercy, and faith in what Christ has done? Oh, they sang Amazing Grace with the bagpipes. It was so wonderful. But do you even know what Amazing Grace means? That's the weightier matter. This is what really counts. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It's amazing they can even sing those words, and it means nothing more to them than, what a beautiful song. And I'm going to tell you, I love Amazing Grace as a song. I do. And I really love it when the bagpipes join in. But you know what? All of that sends a chill down my back, because I once was lost, but now I'm found. And it's the grace of God alone that's made me a child of God. And I stand here saved and have eternal life, and a new life in Christ, and a hope of eternal life in heaven. And I'm going to get a new body, and the cancer's going to be gone. I'll get a new body. You know, there's no cancer in heaven. Jason sang the song about, you don't even have wrinkled hands in heaven. I'm going to get a new body in heaven. Till then, though, I'm going to have to put up with a lot of the curse that's upon this earth until we get to heaven. But I have that blessed hope by the grace, the amazing grace of God. That song sends a chill down my back, especially when the bagpipes chime in, okay? Whoa, that is good. But a lot of people have heard that song, and they're no closer to heaven now than they ever were before. Because they've never heard the gospel explained to them and their need of salvation. Wow, I don't think the Lord took as long as I'm taking to get through this message. He got through this whole chapter. I'm going to stop right here. Next week we'll finish the message of Jesus. And I'm going to do this. When we're done with this message of Jesus, I want to give to you, and I hope you will, when you hear the things I'm going to say, you'll say, yeah, that's right. I agree. I'm going to give you a list of things that I don't agree with in Christianity. The first one's liberalism, and the last one's compromise, and there's a whole bunch of things in between. Of things that I don't agree with in Christianity today because they just aren't biblical. They aren't Bible-based. And then I'm going to give you a list of things I do believe and that are very important. And I hope that you'll come next week and hear an old fundamentalist preacher say what needs to be said in this day and age. We live in a compromising liberal day. Anything goes. Believe anything. Doesn't matter. It does matter. That's why we have a Ray Street Baptist Church. That's why we're here. I mean, we could all just go out of here and go any one of them. There's a dime a dozen churches out there. On every corner in Catasauqua, we got churches. Go there. Why do you have this? Because we're not satisfied with all that. We're not satisfied with that. And that's why for 40 years we've been trying to have a ministry in the midst of the Lehigh Valley that takes a stand for something instead of falling for everything. Standing for something. Well, our Lord and Savior, pretty strong words. Pretty strong words. So I hope you stand by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. I'm not going to say stand by your preacher. I'm going to say stand by the Word of God. So you stand by the Word of God, and you'll be standing where you need to be. And if I fail, well, you keep standing. But by God's grace, I hope at home. But if I fail, you keep on standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, pretty tough. Pretty tough preaching. Pretty tough message. But it's the Lord's fault. Okay? Matthew 23. He's the one who brought it all up. And he wants us to preach the word. Take that and preach it and apply it to the situation we're in. So I hope that you take some hope in this and say, well, boy, at least there's a good church where we go where they aren't going to fall for everything and stand for the things that are right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you as we go our way. Help us to live for the Lord. If anyone is here today, Lord, who's not saved, may they trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior from sin and receive the free gift of everlasting life through faith in Jesus Christ who paid for it all at Calvary. And they might be saved from sin, from the grave, and from hell unto salvation from sin, victory over the grave with everlasting life in a place called heaven. Thank you for giving us your word and the Spirit of God in us to lead us and teach us. Help us to go out of here with the good news on our lips and the loving message of salvation through faith in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.